Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Welcome to the Faith Podcast. I'm Shabir Hassan, and in this mini podcast series, we are going to be discussing Quranic du'as and exploring one du'a from the Quran per episode. We hope you enjoy, inshallah, and benefit from this. Don't forget to check us out on social media at Faith Space UK. Check out our website, faithspace.co.uk, and remember to come as you are to faith as it is. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Welcome back to the Faith Podcast, where we are discussing Quranic supplications. In the last episode, we discussed a particular individual, a great prophet of Allah, known as Yusuf alayhi salam, and the dua that he made. Today we're going to be discussing the dua of one of his forefathers, another great prophet of Allah, our grandfather, the one whom we are taught to follow his millah, his way, none other than Ibrahim alayhi salam, Khalilullah, the close intimate friend of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, he has an entire chapter, like Yusuf alayhi salam has a chapter named after him, Surah Yusuf. There's also a chapter dedicated to this great prophet of Allah, Surah Ibrahim in the Quran. And again, actually, Ibrahim alayhi salam, his account, his story is mentioned in many parts of the Quran, going all the way back to Surah Al-Baqarah. There's mention of it there and in other surahs as well. And we know there's so much that happened in the life of Ibrahim alayhi salam, the amount of sacrifice he had to make. You know, in some parts, like in Surah Maryam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about the struggles that he had with his father as when he was younger. You know, his father Azar, as Allah mentions his name, he had struggles with him. Why? Because Azar used to he used to worship idols. He was an idolater, but he also used to make the idols. He used to manufacture the idols himself, and he used to distribute it. So he was known to be someone who was not just an idolater, but someone who promoted it, someone who in fact was the key figure when it came to idol worship. So he had this struggle with his father. His father sent him away. He had to leave his land. His people cast him out. You know, he was thrown into the fire. He came up against the king of his time, and he had to migrate. And then we know what happened with his wife, you know, how he had to leave his wife and his young child Ismail alayhi salam in the middle of nowhere, literally in the middle of the desert. Obviously today we know that as Mecca, but back then there was nothing there. There were no buildings, there was no water, there was no vegetation, there was no growth, there was no sign of life there. So it was there was no doubt that this was a great sacrifice that Ibrahim alayhi salam made. And like I said, there's many, many mentions of different parts of his story in different parts of the Quran. In Surah Ibrahim, again, there's a dua that Ibrahim alayhi salam makes. And we're going to head over to verse number 40 to look at this dua. There's other du'as, by the way. And in fact, in this podcast, we are going to be discussing a few other du'as in some future episodes, inshallah, of Ibrahim alayhi salam. But the du'a that I want to focus on today actually mentions salah. Okay, it mentions the prayer. And Ibrahim alayhi salam, in this du'a, he says, Rabbi ja'alni muqima salah. He says, my Lord, make me someone who is firm and established in my salah, in my prayer. And then he carries on and he says, wa min dhurriyati, and also from my offspring, meaning from my offspring, make them such people that they will also be firm in their prayers. Then he ends by saying, Rabbana wa taqabbal du'a. Our Lord, accept this du'a, accept this call that I make, accept this du'a that I make, and accept all of my actions, in other words, right? So Ibrahim alayhi salam, he makes a very specific dua here, which is that he's asking Allah to make him firm and established when it comes to as-salah, when it comes to the prayer. Now, we know how important and we know how significant the salah is in our deen. It's a pillar of our faith. It's a pillar of Islam. It's one of the first things that we are going to be questioned about on the Day of Judgment. It's literally going to be the first thing that we're questioned about on the Day of Judgment. Did you pray your salah? Did you, were you firm in your prayers? Did you establish the prayers? Were you praying regularly? Were you praying properly, right? And these are things that we're going to discuss, praying properly, praying with humility and devotion and so on and so forth. So we know the significance, and I don't really want to go into that because we all know how there are five daily prayers in our Sharia that have been ordained, right? And initially, if you look up the story, if you read the seerah, how the Prophet, when he ascended to the heavens, part of the night journey that he went on, he ascended to the heavens, and it was there where salah had been ordained. And initially, there were 50 prayers that had been ordained and made obligatory on the ummah of the Prophet. Right, imagine 50 prayers, and it was thanks to Musa alayhi salam, who basically told the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you need to go back and you need to lighten the load on your ummah. You need to lighten the burden slightly because they are not going to be able to keep up with this. So, you know, went down to 40 prayers, eventually went even further down until finally it ends at 5 prayers, 5 daily prayers, right? We have Fajr, we have Dhuhr, we have Asr, we have Al-Maghrib, and we have Isha. Okay, so, and subhanAllah, the amazing thing is, by the way, that we still get the reward for those 50. We still get the reward for those 50, right? Even though we're only praying 5 prayers a day. And let's be real for a moment. We know the importance, but the reality is, it is a struggle. For many of us, it is a struggle. It's a struggle to wake up for Salatul Fajr. It's sometimes a struggle to pray all 5 prayers. Sometimes it's a struggle to pray them on time. We have work, we have other commitments, we have other things going on in our lives. And you know, sometimes we get caught up, sometimes we get busy, sometimes we become preoccupied, sometimes we're out, we're traveling, and there's so many things going on. And you know, salah maybe isn't at the forefront of our minds. But salah is one of those things that, because it's so important, it has to constantly be at the forefront of our minds. In fact, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسِ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ, that the only reason why I created, you know, humankind and jinnkind is so that they can worship me. We were created to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and serve Him. And at the very forefront of serving Allah and worshipping Him in terms of rituals is the salah, is the daily prayers. You think about fasting in the month of Ramadan, which is obligatory. That occurs once a year. Once a year for 1 month, you have to observe the fast. For those who you know, are qualified to give zakat, again, once a year, you give your zakat, you pay zakat. And when it comes to hajj, for those who are able to do so, again, hajj is once in a lifetime, right? It's not even once a year, it's a once in a lifetime obligation. But then you come to salah. Salah is not once a year or just, you know, 1 month in the entire year, but salah is every single day. So yes, it is a struggle. There's no doubt, and no one's denying that. But that's the whole point, you know? With great struggle comes great reward. So we know that we must pray our salah. But here Ibrahim alayhis salam is asking Allah to make him someone who is established in their prayers. And this is a really important dua for us, because this is what we're struggling with, to establish and to be firm in our prayers. Again, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in other parts of the Quran, He constantly speaks about salah. He says, أَقِيمُ salah, establish the prayers. So this is a command from Allah to us to establish. And now Ibrahim is saying, oh Allah, make me someone who is able to fulfill and carry out your command. And Ibrahim alayhi salam was known for this, by the way. He was known to be able to fulfill the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, no matter how difficult it was. Imagine Allah commanded him after so long for waiting to have a child. He's commanded, leave that child, leave your wife in the middle of the desert, in the middle of nowhere literally, and I'll take care of them. Imagine how difficult it is for a husband and for a father to have to do that, right? It's so difficult, but he was able to fulfill that. Imagine when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, through the dream of Ibrahim alayhi salam, commands him, reveals to him that you need to sacrifice your son Ismail alayhi salam. And as difficult as it would have been for Ibrahim, he still fulfilled that commandment. And of course, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala replaced the sacrifice of Ismail alayhi salam with a greater sacrifice. So, and this is something that we still commemorate even until this day in the days of Hajj. So we know Ibrahim alayhi salam, he was able to make sacrifice and he was able to fulfill these commandments of Allah. And that's what it takes. It takes a great deal of sacrifice. It's not going to come easy. So Ibrahim knows that he has to sacrifice in order to establish the prayers. Right? In Surah Maryam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He speaks about how there came a generation, أَضَاعُوا الصَّلَاةِ, they discarded and they wasted away their prayers, right? They neglected the prayers, in other words, وَاتَّبَعُوا الشَّهَوَاتِ, and they ended up following their whims and desires. Now when we look at what does this mean to neglect your prayers, In other words, the opposite, not establishing your prayers, right? There's different views. One level, and the worst, you know, worst case scenario is someone who completely neglects the prayer. In other words, they do not pray their salah, right? They know that it's an obligation, but they don't pray. They get too busy and they say, you know, maybe tomorrow, maybe another day, maybe in Ramadan, maybe when I'm older, maybe later, and, you know, constantly just delaying it, putting it off and not fulfilling this. And of course, there's no doubt, salah is one of those things. If you've missed it, you need to make up for your prayers, right? It's called qada. So we have to make up for our prayers. So that's one level. And inshallah, you know, we are not on that level where we're constantly missing our prayers. There is another level, which is that, okay, you're praying your salah, but you're not praying your salah on time. And some scholars, they say this is what also means to neglect one's prayer, that they are not praying at its appointed times. Because Allah says in the Quran, "Inna salata kanat ala al-mu'minina kitaban mawquta," that the salah, the prayers, they have been prescribed at appointed times for the believers. There is a time for you to pray Salatul Fajr, and then, you know, up until sunrise, and that's it. The time for that day for Salatul Fajr is over. Now, if for whatever reason you need to pray Salatul Fajr, right, and you've overslept or something's happened, right, then you still need to pray. It's not like, okay, it's done now, khalas, that's it, I leave it at that, and I'll be forgiven. No, you have to still fulfill that, right? Now, you know, praying on time is really important. And again, I know it's difficult. Sometimes you're at work and you don't know, like, you know, you don't know how to balance things. But remember, salah should be at the forefront. We should not, plan our lives. And then salah is just one of those things that, you know, just kind of comes along and, yeah, okay, we just pray and, you know, fulfill that obligation and then carry on. No, everything should be centered around our salah. Not that salah should be somehow be centered around this, right? Everything is centered around our salah. Our lives should be centered around the worship of Allah. That, okay, I want to book a train ticket. Okay, I've got work today. Okay, I need to go to this place. I've got this commitment. But what about my salah? What about my obligations? What about my commitments to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? I'm thinking about commitments to other people. What about my commitments to Allah? So this is another level, which is that a person does not pray at the appointed times of prayer. Then you have yet another level, which is that a person, okay, let's say they are praying their salah. Let's say they're even praying at the appointed times, but now this person is neglecting the salah by not being attentive and not being devoted. And in other words, not having any devotion or concentration in their prayers. Because you could be praying your salah, you could be standing five times a day, but, you know, physically your body is there, but your heart is not present. And you're thinking about work, you're thinking about family, right? You're in a complete different world and you have no idea what you're doing. Remember, you're standing in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is another level in which we're talking about now, humility and devotion in your prayers, right? And there's books that have been written on this. The scholars have gone into great detail. You know, you've got Imam al-Ghazali, rahimahullah, who's written, you know, there's works that are on the inner dimensions of the prayer. Ibn al-Qayyim, rahimahullah, he's got another work, which is Inner Dimensions of Salah as well, Inner Dimensions of Worship, and so on. And actually, one thing that he mentions is that in Salah, there are three levels of devotion. So when it comes to khushu', there are three levels of devotion. One is the devotion of the heart. This is one of the most important ones, right? And the devotion of the heart needs to be there. In other words, your heart needs to be present. Your heart needs to be present. In any action, actually, if you're making dua, if you're praying salah, if you're giving something in charity, your heart needs to be present. Your heart needs to know what it's doing, why you're doing it, and so on, right? And who you're doing it for. So he says that this first level, it safeguards the heart and rectifies the heart's affairs from the sickness of desires and the whispers of shaitan, as well as all thoughts that may nullify their salah or all thoughts that may lessen the reward of that salah, right? Remember, if your devotion isn't there in the salah, then the reward gets less and less and less. The quality of the salah gets poorer and poorer and poorer, right? So if we're doing something for the sake of Allah, we want to do it in the best of ways. So this is one first level of devotion in salah, devotion of the heart. Then we have, he mentions, devotion of ihsan. So this level is when a servant of Allah is mindful of Allah in their salah to the degree that it becomes as if they can see Allah in their salah. This is ihsan, and this is taken from Hadith Jibreel, famous narration of the Prophet ﷺ, in which when Jibreel alayhi salam asks him what is ihsan, he says an ta'bud Allah ka'annaka tara, is that you worship Allah. Ihsan, excellence in your worship, is such worship that you worship Allah as if you can see Him. Imagine you know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is there, and as if you can see Allah, your quality of worship will completely change. It will completely transform. And he says, فَإِن لَمْ تَكُنْ تَرَى فَإِنَّهُ يَرَاكْ. Right? And if you can't reach that level where it's as if you can see Allah, then at least know that Allah sees you, Allah is watching you, Allah is observing you. Because even then, you know, you will have that awareness, right? So bringing ihsan into every area of worship, every aspect of your ibadat, not just salah, obviously salah is one of the most important, but every aspect of our worship should include ihsan. Then he moves on to the third, which is devotion of understanding. So this level is when a person begins to reflect and begins to comprehend the meanings of the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that they're reciting in their prayers. You know, the Qur'an that you're reciting, the tilawah, the recitation, what you're saying in your salah, you're actually comprehending, you're actually understanding. This is the devotion of understanding. And this actually takes it, your ibadah and your worship, to another level. It's amazing, subhanAllah, right? When you start contemplating every single word, every single move that you make, right? And you're understanding it, this is amazing. Now again, many of us will say, I don't understand the Qur'an, I don't speak Arabic, I haven't studied the Arabic language, but there's other ways to attain that as well. You know, with some basic surahs, at least we should try and access the English translation of the Quran. You know, read up on it. You don't need to know exactly word for word, or you don't need to be a master of the Arabic language, but at least get a gist of what you're reciting in your prayer. You know, Allah says, for example, in Surah An-Nasr, it's a very short surah, right? إِذَا جَاءَ نَصْرُ اللَّهِ وَالْفَتْحِ. And towards the end, he says, فَسَبِّحْ بِحَمْدِ رَبِّكَ وَاسْتَغْفِرْ إِنَّهُ كَانَ تَوَّابًا. Right, praise your Lord by doing tasbih, right, and do istighfar, for surely He is the one who accepts all tawbah. Now you recite a verse like this, right, you look up the translation and you understand, okay, this is to do with tasbih, praising Allah, exalting His name. It's to do with doing istighfar and, you know, seeking forgiveness from Allah. It's to do with, you know, the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts a person's repentance. He is all accepting of a person's tawbah and repentance and turning back to Him, which again we've spoken about before. So what should this do? You might not know the Arabic language, but at least now you know, okay, so I can bring this verse into my life. I understand that I should praise Allah more. I understand that every time I commit a sin, that I should do istighfar and I should seek forgiveness. And like this, you know, you look up the basic meaning and you get an idea of the overall meaning of different chapters in the Quran. So this will definitely help you focus. So coming back to the dua that Ibrahim alayhi salam makes, رَبِّ جَعَلْنِي مُقِيمَ الصَّلَاةِ, make me someone who establishes the prayer. On the topic of devotion and what will help to establish the prayer, because again, another struggle that many people have is that they say, well, you know, I am praying, but I feel like it's just become a chore. I've been doing it for so many years now, and it's just become a chore. It's like the same thing. I don't know how I can really benefit from my prayer. You know, I don't know how it's, you know, I don't know how to really develop this relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For me, it's just movements. For me, it's just, okay, I say Allahu Akbar, I go up, I go down, and, you know, I say a few things in between. But other than that, I really don't feel anything. Now, look, again, this is quite common. And I don't want any of you to feel like, you know, the worst thing you could do is completely abandon prayer based on these factors that we're mentioning. You know, okay, my salah, my quality of prayer isn't there, so you know what? What's the point of me praying? Or you know, I'm only able to pray twice or three times a day, and I struggle with Fajr and Isha. So you know, I might as well just leave prayer altogether. No, this is the complete wrong move. Shaitan would want you to do this, completely abandon the salah. Remember, we said the worst case scenario is completely abandoning the prayer. If you're praying a few, or if you're praying but not with full, concentration and devotion, or if you're praying but maybe it's not at the best of times, no, you improve those areas. You don't just completely discard and disregard the prayer, no. So yes, it's a struggle and sometimes it can become a chore. But you have to understand that when it comes to establishing the prayer, you have to work on like we said, the inner dimensions. You have to work on the inward rather than just focusing on the outward, you know, just focusing on, you know, the direction that you're facing, or just focusing on going into sujood, going into ruku' and reciting a few things. No, even if you start with the most basic thing, wudu, as an example, right? Everyone performs wudu before they begin praying, before they begin worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Your wudu, think of it, it's a purification. You're purifying yourself outwardly and inwardly. You make the dua after wudu. You say, oh Allah, Allahumma ja'alni min at-tawwabin. Oh Allah, make me from those who constantly turn back to you. Wa ja'alni min al-mutatahirin. And make me from those who constantly purify themselves. Then, you know, you focus. Remember, another thing that many of us do, the last thing that we do before we begin praying is we look at our phones, right? We're following social media on our phones. And then we put our phone away and then we say, Allahu Akbar. Do you really think that you're able to now focus in your salah? Do you really think you're going to be able to focus in your salah if you've just checked your Twitter feed, or if you've just messaged your spouse, or if you've just got checked an email from work? There's no way, because the dunya is still lingering in your heart. So what you need to do, you need to take a time out, take a break, perform fresh wudu, don't look at your phone, mention Allah's name, have a clear intention of what you're doing, remember what you're doing, and then say Allahu Akbar. Don't rush into things. Don't just rush your salah, leave it last minute so that you're out of breath. Again, you're thinking about catching your breath, you're thinking about, you know, how to quickly finish the prayer on time, and so on. So don't leave these things till last minute, or focus on what you're consuming just before your salah. Maybe do some dhikr, maybe pray your sunnah prayers before the salah. Get into the mode before you actually offer the prayer. What's really interesting in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "Inna salah tanha anil fahsha'i wal munkar." That there's no doubt that the salah, the prayer, it actually prevents you from obscene and immoral and evil acts. The salah actually prevents you from this. And if you think about the prayer, it's amazing how salah actually helps you not only come closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but it helps you become a better individual, a better person. And I'll give you some examples to end with, inshallah. Okay, five ways how salah can impact you to help you become a better, more efficient, more productive person all around. First and foremost, salah reminds you of your purpose every single day. Not just once a day, five times a day. So what are you doing? You're busy with work, you're busy trading, you're busy on your emails, you're busy with family, and then the adhan goes. The adhan goes, right? Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. And think about the wording. When we say Allahu Akbar, that means Allah is the greatest, or Allah is greater. In other words, Allah is greater than your work. Allah is greater than your family. Allah is greater than your business. Allah is greater than everything, right? He's greater than everything. That's why the words in the adhan is Allahu Akbar. The first thing you say to enter into prayer is Allahu Akbar, right? Constantly throughout the prayer, you're reminding yourself that Allah is greater than everything. So what salah will do, it reminds you of your purpose, that yes, you're so busy with the worldly affairs, but then you have to take time out and you have to make time for your Creator. You have to make time for your Lord, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it will constantly remind you of your purpose throughout the day, numerous amount of times in the day. Salah also ensures that you are on top of things like your time management. Because again, remember we said salah, it's at its appointed times. It needs to be offered at specific times. So if you're able to stay on top of your prayers, then actually you will find this. You'll find that you're on top of everything else. And the opposite can be true as well. The opposite is that a person who delays their prayers and, you know, isn't good with catching the salah times at the times that it needs to be offered, then that person, you'll find they're late for their meetings as well. They're not very good with time management generally. So salah, you know, ensures that, okay, I know that this is the time for dhuhr. Like in my lunchtime at work, I need to pray. I need to offer the dhuhr prayer. Fajr, okay, that means I need to sleep a bit earlier in order for me to wake up for fajr, and so on and so forth. So again, you're centering everything around your salah, time management. That's another one. Number three is that salah helps you keep focused, because in your salah you have to stay focused. In your salah you can't look around, right? Your gaze is fixated. It's fixed on, you know, a particular place, and you know, You're constantly trying to think about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You're trying to drown out, you know, all of these thoughts about dunya or any negative thoughts, and you're trying to think about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala only. So in life, we always need to be focused, right? And if you're trying to work on an assignment, you're trying to reach a deadline, okay, you need to be focused. Right? If you're at work, you need to be focused. If you're with your family, you need to focus on them. So salah helps you focus. Number four, salah keeps you humble. Humility. Why? Because think about the movements in salah. You're lowering your head. The most precious part of your body is your head, is your face. So your head, you're literally placing it where? On the ground where your feet normally goes, you're placing your head there. You're bowing down before your master, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So you've humbled yourself, right? And in life, we need to be humble. In life, we can't think that we're better than anyone else based on our, you know, appearance, based on our status, based on our, you know, background, based on, you know, where we're from. No, this is not what makes us more noble in the sight of Allah. In fact, what makes us more noble and more honorable in the sight of Allah is our taqwa, is our consciousness of Him, is our relationship with Him. That's the only thing that distinguishes us from anyone else. So salah keeps you humble, and finally, salah keeps you disciplined, right? And we've mentioned this already, how, you know, time, you have to do things on time, right? And not only this, but 5 times a day, right? You need to take time out to do different things. So salah keeps you extremely disciplined. You can't move around, right? There's certain movements. You can't go, if you're praying in congregation, for example, you know, you have to stay in a particular place. You can't go ahead of the imam. You're constantly disciplined. So salah helps you in all aspects of life, in different areas of life. And salah actually, if a person becomes known to be a person who prays and has established the prayer, then this will help them stay away from sin, because they will question themselves before they disobey Allah. Hold on a second, but I pray. I'm constantly praying my salah, right? I'm always offering my prayers. Why would I do this for? Do I really want to be seen doing this? Do I really want to upset Allah? I just prayed. I just offered my prayer. What's the point of me sinning? That's just going to completely nullify my prayer. So salah does indeed stop you from evil and immoral acts. So this is the importance of salah. This is how we can really transform our salah and our connection with Allah. And coming back to the dua of Ibrahim alayhi salam, this is an important dua that we should all make. That if we're struggling, ask Allah, رَبِّ جَعَلْنِي مُقِيمَ الصَّلَاةِ. Oh my Lord, make me someone who is able to establish their prayer. وَمِن ذُرِّيَّتِي. SubhanAllah, look at the legacy mindset of Ibrahim alayhi salam. He's already thinking about his offspring as well. Make my children such people that they also offer the prayer. He knows that's one thing that is going to benefit them. That's one thing that's going to benefit him and his children. So this is a really amazing dua from Surah Ibrahim, verse number 40. Let's memorize this dua. Let's learn it. Let's implement it. Let it also affect and improve our overall worship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's all we have time for. We will be back for another Quranic dua to discuss, inshallah. Until then, take care. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.